what we've been doing for the last month. It's been quite intense, and that's why I proposed to Shruti Dharma Prabhu that come for the evening, because we've just been sort of chanting a little. And while we were chanting, we'd be projecting pictures of Radha Shyam, and then after that we'd talk, and so we didn't really have so much time to do really any kirtan. And since we ran out of books anyway,
we have ten sets still left,
but it seems like some are sort of spoken by four people who reserve them. But anyhow, wanted to chant a little. And, but before that, the importance of chanting and our method of chanting is an aspect of meditation that devotees always consider. When we were at Dr. Sundaranda's house, we were talking with the Pandava saying how chanting is meant to be it's a form of worship, and it's meant for Krishna's pleasure. As soon as the motive becomes prime motive, that I want to enjoy myself, have a good time, then it's no longer something that's for Krishna's pleasure. When we chant for Krishna's pleasure, automatically we enjoy and we have a good time. But the motivation is that Krishna should be pleased. And so the important thing is, how is it that Krishna likes us to chant? We know that by how Srila Prabhupada wanted us to chant and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted, for which chanting has certain external characteristics, like what devotees do and how they dance and how they sing and clap and play instruments, and then a corresponding internal meditation, because these are always the two things that are always there in devotional service. There is the external activities of the senses, and then the internal focus of the mind. And actually, devotional service is manasa seva. It's meant to be done in the mind, which means that when it's done by the senses alone, without a corresponding meditation, then it becomes a ritualistic activity. I'm thinking of one thing and I'm doing another thing. I'm worshiping Krishna, you know, thinking about someone else other than Krishna, or I'm meditating on something else. And so it is with chanting Hare Krishna, that the meditation on Krishna's holy name is on Krishna. But Krishna has different features. Krishna has the primary feature of his name, Harinatam Namanam, you know. And a real yogi, yoga in Vyasamyama, yoga means to control the senses. And a real yogi is someone, a bhakti yogi, whose senses are focused on the sound vibration of the holy name. So I mean, very often this question comes up, what are you supposed to be thinking about when you're chanting Hare Krishna? And you know, Srila Prabhupada just said here, because every phase of meditation has, just like Ashtanga Yoga, has different stages of activity, and you cannot jump. Like you can yama niyama, you don't know how to do that, then you can't jump to samadhi. So, same thing. Devotees who go through the steps or the stages of meditating upon Krishna, then they know the answer because it happens spontaneously. It becomes a spontaneous thing. It's not an artificial thing. And the first qualification of a Vaishnava is that he can just hear the sound of Krishna's name ad infinitum. And that's good enough, because it's Krishna. And that gives so much pleasure to the ears that the mind becomes absorbed in just hearing that sound vibration. But because Krishna has many features, such as his qualities and his form and his pastimes, so those also subsequently manifest naturally from proper absorption in Krishna's name. And therefore, a real bhakti yogi is someone who knows how to listen. Shushidho sadaranascha. And then to the degree that we have faith in Krishna's name, to that degree we are able to listen. And our faith in Krishna's name is determined by bhakti unotakosya sambandhagyan, by the depth of our knowledge about the holy name, Krishna. Therefore, this nam tattva, or knowing the tattva, the philosophy underlying the ontology of the holy name, and the worship of the holy name, the perfections granted by the holy name, so the syllables of the holy name, these things are all part of a devotee's serious study. And by that serious study, then deep, deep conviction comes that yes, when I'm chanting Krishna's name, I am with Krishna. And Krishna says that he reveals himself. So to the degree that we're actually surrendered to the process and to that process, nama, guna, rupa, guna, to the degree that we're surrendered to the process of chanting and accept that, then naturally Krishna will reciprocate. And there are other Vaishnava schools in which the Lord reciprocates. But we're in this Vaishnava school. And if we don't stick to the process that's given in this school, and we try to emulate that which is in another, then it won't work. Because it's just like, I don't know, going to Oxford, and then you're assigned into Oxford University for some particular course, and yet you go into Cambridge. Well, you're not going to get a diploma from Oxford by going to Cambridge. You have to go to Oxford, and you have to go through the process. Similarly, Krishna manifests different sampradayas. And sampradaya means mantrashta nishpalama. Unless you follow your own sampradaya, then whatever practice you may have, which may appear to be very suitable somewhere else, becomes useless. So Krishna says as much, svadharma mabhikavisha. Everyone has to do his own dharma. So what is our dharma? What is our dharma in relationship to the chanting, particularly in the way that Srila Prabhupada taught us, and coming down in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, and as we're faithful to that, then naturally the fruit or the result of that chanting comes. So chant a little. We only mic up the little head, or we have a shorter microphone. Okay. So let's chant Hare Krishna. And what's to say? I'll just sort of warm up a little. And this is a melody we were singing the other time. It's a. It needs following. I know sometimes. Sometimes two things happen. One is that when devotees chant, or they hear a melody, then they really sort of elaborate on it, or they enhance. They get sort of really carried away, which may not be appropriate. The other is that they don't necessarily catch the tune. So these are also externals, but they go along with the chanting. So Shravanam Kirtana means what I hear, or at least what's being chanted, that's what I repeat. I don't repeat something else. And the one thing I would request devotees, I don't know, this became like a sort of a fad, that devotees start to sing like in a few notes higher in the chord when they're saying, this is the men do this. Like you're singing here and then, I don't know, I guess, sorry for myself, I prefer to just sing in the same. So if you could request devotees to do that, otherwise then it becomes sort of a different type of kirtan. It's a detail. It's not, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the trapita niyamita smaranina kala. It's a detail. Still, it's good to be attentive to detail. And this tune goes in the following way. We sang this last time. We are